Well, good morning and welcome to The Drive. It is March something. March 4th. March 4th, and I hope you are having a good day. I don't know if you're awake yet. It's 5:48. I usually wake up between 4 and 5, and this morning got up at about 4:15 because went to bed at a reasonable hour. And so I always try to lay there a little bit to make sure I don't have to go back to sleep. And my body's like, you know what? Give it a couple more hours, then I will. But I felt good at waking up that early. And I usually do in the mornings. It's just a blessing to be able just to get up and read and pray and drink coffee. And I've always just loved starting my day that way. Since we had kids, actually, it started with them because, you know, I was going to the gym and all that, you know, before we had kids, and it was a bit easier. But when we had kids, I had to go at a super early hour, so I got back before they woke up, so, you know, we could take care of them and all that. But now that they're older, they sleep till about between 7 and 8, So I usually get back home about 7 to 8. So anyway, it's just how I work. We're all different. Some of you are like, oh, that's what I do. Others are like, you're crazy. But I base it on, did I get 7 hours of sleep? Okay, I'm good. But it is still dark out here. It's foggy. And and I'm just driving to the gym. And then whether you're in your car or at home or at work, just praying for you today that God will give you strength, wisdom in decision making, and comfort when things seem chaotic. God does all that. It's amazing. But anyway, as we're continuing to talk about Jesus, you guys, this is a scripture that I want to read and then kind of talk about a little bit. That is kind of astounding, or was astounding, to the religious establishment. It says, and as Jesus reclined at a table in the house, that's how they ate back then in the first century in the Middle East, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus got some flack for this, right? Like, the religious leaders were astonished. Like, why would you even associate with sinners? You know, and we know from the other gospels, you put them together and you see that there were not only tax collectors, but there were thieves and prostitutes, and Jesus was eating with them. Who does he think he is? I mean, from the religious perspective, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They were like, what? He must be a sinner too. He must be into some bad stuff also. But see, Jesus was invited to Matthew's house after he asked Matthew to follow him, and Matthew dropped his whole tax business, his whole profitable livelihood, in order to follow Jesus. And Matthew said, come on over. Matthew hadn't changed friends yet. He hadn't realized the difference between walking with the world and walking with the Lord. And so the people that he associated with were other rip-off artists, criminals, thieves, prostitutes, sinners. Jesus didn't say, you know what, wait until you clean up. Wait until you get good friends. Wait until you get people that are, you know, followers of the Lord, and then I'll come over to your house. Get different company, and then I'll join you. You know, Jesus never said that. Unfortunately, some churches have that mindset. But it ought not be so, right? Jesus didn't say, it's us versus them. He didn't act like that. He went to eat with them. Now, because Jesus ate with sinners didn't mean he was participating in their sin. Just because we hang out and talk and associate and pray for unbelievers doesn't mean we're unbelievers. In order to reach a lost world, we're in the world, but we have to actually associate with the world. Now, we don't want to yoke with unbelievers, you know. Paul makes it clear that you got to be careful who you associate with in life, because there can be some bad repercussions and results if we do hang out and associate with unbelievers more than believers, you know. I've seen that over and over again over the years where people are like, well, I just can't stop sinning. I can't stop this habitual sin. I was like, well, what do you do on the weekend? Well, I go out with the people from work and, you know, we all get wasted. I was like, well, have you ever thought of, you know, maybe not hanging out with unbelievers in that setting at that time? Well, no. That may be what's causing you. You know what I'm saying? Like, our sphere of influence matters. But at the same time, we're not to completely be like, we're in, you know, you've heard the term, we're in our Christian bubble. Like, I only talk to Christians now. I don't associate with unbelievers. I don't, oh, there's someone of the world. I don't want to look at them. You know, we're not trying to foster this us versus them dichotomy. Like, we're saved. We get built up. We hang out. We fellowship with unbelievers in the community of Christ that we have. But then we're sent out in our daily jobs, our daily tasks, those things that we have to do because we are in this world. There's no denying it, right? We are in this world. But Jesus makes clear, John 17, I believe, that we're not of this world, right? We don't walk the same way. But in order to be witnesses, we have to actually talk to sinners. And we were sinners. And we still mess up. Now we're called sons and daughters of God, right? But at the same time, we still struggle, but we cling to the Lord. We look to Him for strength. We look to Him for help. We take the way of escape when temptation comes, right? So, it's an interesting thing because, we don't want to just cut ourselves off from everyone that doesn't know Jesus. How are we going to fulfill the Great Commission if we don't ever go out on mission and share with, you know, unbelievers, with those who are struggling, who have no help and no hope? How is that all going to work? And so it's a fine line. You have to be careful. You have to be aware if you're letting the world influence you, you know. If that is the case, then things may need to change. But at the same time, we're trying to be lights to these people who have no hope, who are down and out. You know, maybe your boss at work, maybe an employee, a coworker, a manager, maybe a family member, maybe someone that you grew up with and they're just miserable because they don't know Jesus and you do, and you still have that connection with them. And so then you can actually talk to them here and there, pray for them and see where they're at spiritually. You don't have to be like, oh, you're a non-Christian. Ugh, get away from me. That was the religious leader's viewpoint, perspective, mindset back in the first century. So you look at Jesus dining with Matthew and, you know, his cohort of sinners, thieves, all this thing. And I think it's awesome because he was shining as a light to them. Matthew just got saved. He was excited. Hence why I believe he asked Jesus to come over. Come eat with us. This is awesome. Let's celebrate. And I believe that acted as a testimony to the other thieves and prostitutes and everything that were at Matthew's table, essentially. So yes, this is a good example for us. And also, I think it's an indication to just beware that you're not to let the ungodly world influence you. You, as a light for Christ, are to influence an ungodly world. Amen. Well, hey, God bless you guys. Love you guys. Hope you have a great Monday. Praying for you. I'll talk to you soon.